Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We have officially crossed the threshold. It is February 1st, 2026. The holiday hangover is a distant memory. January's planning phase is in the rearview mirror, and we are now, well, fully in the execution phase of the year.
It really does feel like the engines are revving up. Usually the tech world kind of eases into the first quarter, but looking at the stack of intel we have on the desk today, it feels like everyone decided to push the big red button at the same time.
Exactly. It is coordinated chaos out there. And that's why we're here. Our mission today is to take this massive stack of Tekken Army intel, specifically the briefing filed by Inspector Gemini just this morning, and, separate the signal from the noise. Because let me tell you, there is a lot of noise.
There is. But Inspector Gemini has a knack for cutting through it. What I love about this particular briefing is that it doesn't just give us headlines, it gives us the underlying currents. We aren't just looking at product launches, we're looking at strategies that affect your wallet, your privacy, and frankly, how you're going to spend your free time this month.
So let's set the stage. We have a lot to cover. We are going to talk about a huge ramp up in the AI subscription wars. I mean, literally a battle for your monthly budget. We have some juicy hardware leaks from Samsung, a significant crisis brewing over at Intel, and we'll wrap up with what the financial whales are doing in the crypto markets while everyone else is sleeping.
But before we get into the weeds, I want to highlight the central tension of this briefing. It's actually, well, it's quite poetic if you think about it. On one hand, you have a tech giant aggressively giving away its premium product for free to get you hooked. And at the exact same moment, on this very same day, there is a growing social movement just screaming at you to unsubscribe from everything.
It is the ultimate tug of war for your attention. So here's the roadmap. We are going to start with that friction point, the AI recruitment war versus the privacy backlash. Then we're going to pop the hood on the hardware spectrum, Samsung's hype versus Intel's headache. And finally, we'll look at the entertainment and market signals.
Sounds like a full stack. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's unpack this first major headline. If you are a Google user, which, let's be honest, is most people listening to this, you need to check your notifications.
Right. This is the lead story for a reason.
The briefing highlights that Google is starting February with an incredibly aggressive move regarding Google AI Advanced. As of this morning, if you're a current user, you can generate invite links for 10 friends. But we aren't talking about a standard trial here.
No, and that's the key. Usually, a free trial in the SaaS world, software as a service, is 7 days, maybe 14 days if they're feeling generous. It's just enough time to dip your toe in.
But Google is offering 4 months of free access. 4 months. That is a third of a year of their top-tier, most expensive AI model, absolutely free.
This is significant for a few reasons. First, you have to understand the cost. Running these advanced models isn't like serving a web page. The inference cost, the electricity and computing power required every time you ask the AI a question, is high. Giving that away for 4 months to potentially millions of new users via these invite links, that is a massive financial burn.
So why do it? Is it just generosity?
Definitely not. It tells us exactly where we are in the AI lifecycle. We've moved past the innovation phase, where the tech sells itself. We are now firmly in the recruitment phase. Analysts in the briefing are pointing out that this is a tactical strike designed specifically to steal user share from ChatGPT Plus.
It feels like a land grab.
That is exactly what it is, but it's also about habit formation. Think about your own workflow. 7 days isn't enough time to change how you work, but 4 months. If I give you 4 months of Google AI, you are going to integrate it into your Gmail, your docs, your coding workflow. You'll build your entire productivity structure around it.
And by the time June rolls around and the paywall comes back up,
you are locked in. The switching cost to go back to a competitor or to go back to working manually is too high. You'll pay the subscription because you can't imagine working without it.
It's the classic drug dealer model, isn't it? The first hit is free, or in this case, the first 4 months.
It's aggressive and it's smart. By giving 10 invites to every user, they are effectively turning their customer base into a decentralized sales force. It's viral marketing 101, but with a product that has incredibly high utility.
So the practical takeaway here is pretty simple. If you've been paying 20 or 30 bucks a month for an AI subscription, or if you've been on the fence, find a friend with a Google sub. Slide into those DMs. You could save yourself almost $100 over the next few months.
But, and here's where it gets really interesting. This push for mass adoption is happening against a backdrop of serious resistance.
Right. This is the friction point you mentioned in the intro. Because just as Google is opening the floodgates with freebies, we have this headline about hashtag unsubscribefeb.
Yes, unsubscribe day.
According to the intel, privacy activist Scott Galloway is leading this charge. They've declared today, February 1st, as unsubscribe day. The call to action is a total boycott. They are urging people to cancel their AI and big tech subscriptions for 1 month.
It's a fascinating counter movement. The motivation here, according to the source, is strictly about privacy violations. There is a growing segment of the population that feels like our data is being harvested at an unprecedented rate to train these models, and we aren't seeing a dime of that value.
It's essentially a strike.
Exactly. They are arguing that the only language these trillion-dollar companies understand is a drop in MRR, monthly recurring revenue. If enough people unsubscribe, even for a month, it sends a signal that data privacy matters.
It is trending on Twitter right now, hashtag unsubscribefeb. But I have to play devil's advocate here. Is it realistic? Can you imagine telling someone, hey, here is 4 months of the most advanced AI for free, and they say, no thanks, I'm doing a digital detox.
That is the clash. That is the defining question of 2026 so far. Are we ready to live without these conveniences? Big tech is betting that the utility, the sheer helpfulness of drafting emails, summarizing meetings, and generating code outweighs the abstract concern about privacy for the average person. Google is betting 4 months of service that you won't care about the data implications. Scott Galloway is betting that you will.
It's a test of willpower versus incentives. And frankly, convenience usually wins.
It does. But the fact that this is even a trending topic suggests the privacy camp is getting louder. It raises an important question for you, the listener. Where is your line? Is there a price point or a feature set that makes you forget about the privacy concerns? Or is the unsubscribe button looking more attractive these days?
I think for a lot of people, free is a very hard price to argue with, but it's worth thinking about why it's free.
Always.
All right, let's shift gears. We're moving from the software wars to the hardware trenches, the metal and glass section of the briefing.
The hardware spectrum is really interesting this month because we have two massive companies going in completely different directions. We have the height of hype on one end and a deepening crisis on the other.
Let's start with the hype. Samsung.
Finally. The rumors can be put to rest.
Yes. Inspector Gemini confirms it. Samsung has sent out the official invites. The Unpacked event is set for February 25th. And obviously the star of the show is the Galaxy S26 Ultra.
February is always a big month for mobile. But this feels significant. Did you catch the tagline they are using?
Beyond Vision. It sounds like a superhero movie.
It's dramatic, sure. But the leaks regarding the display technology actually back it up. We're looking at the debut of microLens display technology.
Okay, let's unpack that. MicroLens sounds like marketing jargon. What does it actually do for the person holding the phone?
It's a really clever piece of engineering. In a traditional OLED screen, believe it or not, a lot of the light generated by the pixels gets trapped inside the display layers due to internal reflection. It's wasted energy.
So your battery is draining to create light you don't even see.
Exactly. MicroLens Array, or MLA technology, puts a layer of billions of microscopic lenses on top of the pixels. These lenses refract that trapped light and direct it straight out to your eyes.
So it's more efficient.
Dramatically. You get two benefits. You can either have a blindingly bright screen for outdoor use without overheating, or you can run at normal brightness and save a ton of battery life. It's a have your cake and eat it too technology.
That is a significant upgrade. The briefing also notes a design shift, a return to a separate camera module.
Yes. For the last few years, Samsung did that floating lens look where the cameras just stuck out of the back individually. It was very clean, but maybe a bit fragile. It looks like they're moving back to a cohesive, designed island or module.
Beyond Vision likely hints at that, plus whatever AI wizardry they are putting into the zoom capabilities. Samsung is trying to reclaim the mobile throne here.
They know the competition is stiff. They need a hardware win.
So mark your calendars for February 25th if you're due for an upgrade. But moving to the other end of the spectrum, things are not so sunny for Team Blue.
No, this is the crisis part of the briefing.
We are talking about Intel, and this news dropped just this morning, February 1st.
It's tough news. Financial reports came out, and they revealed serious yield issues with Intel's new 3-nanometer chips.
We hear yield issues a lot in financial news, but I want to make sure everyone understands the mechanics here. Why is yield the metric that makes investors panic?
Think of a silicon wafer, like a giant, very expensive pizza. You slice it up into hundreds of individual chips. Yield is simply the percentage of those slices that actually work perfectly and meet the performance standards.
Okay.
If you have low yield, say 50%, it means half the chips you just spent weeks and millions of dollars manufacturing are garbage. They go in the bin. It makes the manufacturing process incredibly expensive and slow because you have to make twice as many wafers to get the same number of usable chips.
And the market reacted immediately to this.
Oh, absolutely. INTC stock dropped another 5% in pre-market trading. That is a significant hit for a company that is trying to stabilize and prove it can compete with TSMC.
So what does this mean for the average person? Let's say I'm listening to this and I was planning to build a new high-end gaming PC this month. Do I buy Intel?
The advice from the briefing is pretty stark. Wait.
Just wait.
If there are yield issues at the factory that can sometimes imply stability problems or just supply shortages that drive up the price, you don't want to be the early adopter of a chip architecture that is struggling to leave the factory floor. The expert advice here is to wait for stability reports. Let the reviewers get their hands on them. Let the benchmarks come out. Do not pre-order.
That is valuable intel. It saves you money and headache. So Samsung is pushing boundaries on the 25th, but Intel is struggling to get the 3-nanometer chips out the door. It's a mixed bag for hardware fans.
It really is. It shows that even the giants can stumble. Just because a company's been around for 50 years doesn't mean they can't hit a wall when the physics get this small.
Okay, let's lighten the mood a little bit. We've covered the wars and the crises. Let's talk about escapism. Because even if you're boycotting AI or waiting on PC parts, you still need something to play.
Exactly. You need to unwind.
Sony has dropped the lineup for PlayStation Plus for February 2026. What are we playing?
It's a really diverse month, actually. The briefing calls it a solid month, and I'd agree. The headline act here is Undisputed on PS5.
That's the boxing sim, right?
Yes. And it's significant because the boxing genre has been dead for a long time. We haven't had a proper high-budget boxing sim since the Fight Night days. Undisputed is trying to fill that void.
Is it an arcade masher or is it technical?
It's very technical. It's been praised for its physics engine. The punches actually feel like they connect. The footwork matters. You can't just spam buttons. You have to manage your stamina and angles. If you've been missing that tactical combat sports feeling, this is the one to pick up.
I love a good sports sim where you actually have to learn the mechanics. But the list takes a weird turn after boxing. We go from the ring to an alien ocean.
Subnautica. Below Zero.
Oh, man. I played the first one. It is the most beautiful, terrifying experience I've ever had in a game.
Below Zero is the sequel. It takes everything that worked in the first one, the crafting, the exploration, the terror of the deep, and adds a freezing temperature mechanic. So now you have to survive the water and the cold.
Sounds stressful.
It is, but it's also incredibly immersive. If you want to get lost in a world, just put on headphones and forget about the real world for a few hours. This is a masterpiece.
And there was one more title that caught the inspector's eye.
Ultros. It's described as artistic. It's a Metroidvania side-scrolling exploration. But the art style is psychedelic. It looks like a neon fever dream. It's a great counterbalance to the realism of a boxing game.
Now, there is a whisper in the intel. A rumor for the extra subscribers, the higher tier.
The rumor mill is churning about Gran Turismo 7.
Huge if true.
It would be massive. GT7 is a flagship first-party Sony title. Usually they keep those protected from the subscription service to keep sales up. If that joins the catalog later this month, it adds a ton of value.
So you've got boxing, underwater survival, psychedelic exploration, and maybe some high-end racing. Not a bad month to be a PlayStation.
It's not bad at all. It's a very well-rounded buffet.
All right, let's move to our final segment. We are looking at the financial signals. And specifically, Inspector Gemini poses the question, what are whales buying?
This is always my favorite part of the briefing. Because the whales, the individuals or entities with massive amounts of capital, often move differently than the rest of the market.
Yeah.
They have better data or at least a longer time horizon.
The intel says the market is generally red.
Right. If you look at the charts today, it looks like a downturn. Most retail investors, the regular folks, get scared when they see red. They sell to cut losses or they just sit on their hands and do nothing.
But the
on-chain data, which tracks the actual movement of assets on the blockchain, so it's verifiable, shows they are heavily accumulating Cardano, ADA.
Cardano? That's interesting. That project has been around for a long time, and it often gets criticized for moving slowly.
It has. Mm-hmm. But accumulation in large wallets has hit a six-month high. This isn't just a blip. It's a sustained buying effort by the big players.
Why would they be buying now when the market is down?
It's the classic contrarian play. buy when there's blood in the streets, as the old saying goes. Mm-hmm. Whales often use these red periods to scoop up assets at a discount. If they're betting millions on Cardano right now, they likely see some fundamental value or an upcoming catalyst that the general market is ignoring. They are positioning themselves for the bounce.
The briefing also mentioned something about Ethereum.
Yes, two Ethereum L2 Layer 2 altcoins are also on the radar.
Can you quickly explain for the listener what is a Layer 2?
To keep it simple, Ethereum is like the main highway. It's secure, but it gets congested and expensive. A Layer 2 is like an express lane built on top of the highway. It's faster and cheaper, but it settles the final transaction back on the main Ethereum road.
Got it.
The fact that whales are buying L2 tokens suggests they are betting on the ecosystem growing and needing that scaling capacity. They are betting on infrastructure.
So while everyone else is panicking about the red charts, the smart money is positioning itself for a bounce.
That's the theory. Inspector Gemini suggests watching the volume. If you see volume spiking on ADA or those L2s, that's the signal confirming the whale activity.
Okay, let's recap this whirlwind. It is February 1st, 2026. What have we learned?
Well, first off, the AI war is now a recruitment war. Google is giving away 4 months of free access to get you into their ecosystem. It's a huge value financially, but you have to weigh it against the privacy cost.
Check your DMs for an invite, unless, of course, you are joining Scott Galloway for hashtag unsubscribefeb and boycotting the whole thing. It's a real choice you have to make this month.
Exactly. Then, on the hardware front, we have Samsung ready to unveil the S26 Ultra on the 25th. Look out for that microlens display. But if you are Team Blue, be careful. Intel's 3-nanometer yield issues mean you should probably hold off on that PC build until we see some stability.
And finally, gamers have a boxing ring and an alien ocean to explore on PS5, while the crypto whales are quietly stacking Cardano while the market sloops.
A lot of movement for the first day of the month.
It really is. You know, looking at all of this, there's a theme that stands out to me. It's about value.
How so?
Well, Google is saying your participation is worth giving away their product for free. The whales are saying Cardano is valuable even when the price is down. It seems like February is about figuring out what things are actually worth.
It connects back to the bigger picture. If we think about the provocative thought for the listener today, in a month where free AI is the carrot and privacy concerns are the stick, what is the actual value of your data?
That is the question.
Think about it. If Google is willing to give away 4 months of advanced, expensive computing power just to keep you as a user, what does that say about how much your participation is worth to them? We often think we are the customer receiving a service, but in these ecosystems, we are the asset.
We are the fuel.
We are. The unsubscribe movement is trying to remind us of that value. Google's trying to buy that value from us with 4 months of free service. The question for you listening right now is, what is your price? Is 4 months enough? Or is your privacy worth more?
That is something to chew on as you go about your Sunday. Whether you're subscribing, unsubscribing, or just trying to beat the boxing champ in Undisputed, keep your eyes open.
Stay critical.
Commander, that wraps up our deep dive into the February tech briefing. We hope you have a productive and signal-rich day. We'll catch you on the next one.